So this morning, as we begin this brand new series in this year on the attributes of God, and actually it'll be for the next several months, so brace yourself, we're going to try to address a couple of questions. Who is God, and what is God like? Now, it's an important study because we need to be able to distinguish between the true God, the God we serve, the God who sent his only Son to die on the cross, and there is only one way to him, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ, from all the false gods that are out there in the world. There are a lot, and there are many people who are trying to tell you, well, this is who you ought to know. Well, listen, I'm telling you who you ought to know, and I'm taking it from the Word of God. A major problem, though, we have, and all of these religions have, is that, like it or not, we are prone to create God in our image rather than the other way around. We do it from human reasoning. Oh, well, this is the way I feel, so that must be the way God feels. Absolutely not. As we study God's character, and we do so from His Word, it will help us to worship who He truly is rather than just some God of your imagination. I believe our culture has allowed God to become unimportant. It might seem church is important. I got to go to church. Or even talk about God's love. But what about God Himself? See, love is a characteristic of who He is, but what about Him? Now, many consider God, though, interesting in our world, less interesting than TV. You spend more time watching TV. I would probably guarantee, because I struggle. I probably watch more TV than I read His Word. And that is challenging me. There are some that tell us that His commands have less authority than their opinion. I don't believe that's true. I don't think any of your opinions outweigh God's Word. And some say, well, He's no more awe-inspiring than a sporting event. Church, I wonder why we sit here so quietly at times when, by the way, He is saving people and there's a party going on in heaven. And it's like, touchdown! Right? Listen, when we begin to know Him and what's happening around Him, then all of a sudden it will change our opinion of Him and our understanding of Him. We need to study the character of God because it should be the greatest pursuit of your life, to know Him. There's nothing you need more than to know Him in an intimate and a personal way. I want you to hear the prophet Jeremiah as he pens these words as he hears them from God. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. By the way, is this of any importance? Well, I would say not only when the Lord talks, but when His Word speaks. Are you ready? Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth. You always wonder, why is the earth so bad? Because only the Lord can bring righteousness to it. That's why He needs the people of God here on the earth. And listen what He says, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. If you've ever read a scripture that changed your life, that should be it. Church, there is nothing more important or more valuable than knowing God, and we desperately need to know Him. Because God is the strength of our lives. Knowing God gives us direction. It gives us focus for our lives. So as we start, I have two thoughts I need to share with you. Number one, it is impossible for human words to adequately describe the one who is greater than our ability to comprehend. You got that? There is no way over the course of these weeks that anything's going to come out of my mouth that adequately describes him. No way. He is far beyond our comprehension. Even though we can't fully describe him, though, it doesn't mean the study is not profitable. And throughout this study, you need to remember God is bigger than your ability to comprehend him. So when you hear things, you're like, well, how can that be? His ways are higher than your ways, and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But the study will get us moving in the right direction. We will never master all the attributes of God, but we can ponder them and we can meditate on them. And then secondly, you need to know this. It is difficult to know what attributes to focus on. So when I get done, you're like, well, you didn't cover this. Listen, there are so many attributes of God. And because he's beyond our ability to understand, my purpose is only to do an introduction to the attributes of God. But listen to my introduction. You ready? I hope to just whet your appetite. In fact, I hope you become so fascinated, so enamored with the character and the person of God that you will devote the rest of your life to getting to know him better. To begin, there is a trio of words that kind of get us started in trying to understand God. These words in themselves are not anywhere near a complete description of God, but they're a good beginning. And that's where we're going to start for the next 3 weeks. I'm going to just do one a week. And each of them start with this prefix, omni, which means all or universal, complete. I'm sure you've heard these, omnipresent. I want you to notice the word present. God is present everywhere. He is all present. Omniscience is another word. Notice the word science in there. If you go to Webster's Merriam Dictionary, you will find the very first definition of science is really a word meaning knowing. That's why science is trying to know. And yet science is misled because they've missed the direction of their knowing. God is all-knowing. The third one is omnipotent. Notice the part that says potent, which means powerful. He is all-powerful. This morning we're going to look at the first of these characteristics, omnipresent. God is omnipresent, that means he is present everywhere at the same time. Jeremiah pens these words from God. He says, am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord. David pens these words under the direction of the Holy Spirit when he's writing a song for the church to sing. And he begins to pen these words out of Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. God's omnipresence means that God is present in all places at all times. There is no place God is not. Now, I don't know about you, but this kind of thinking is beyond the ability of my understanding. But by faith, We must believe and know that God is able to be present everywhere because he is spirit. The word of God teaches us that in John 4:24. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship how? In spirit and in what? In truth, in the knowing of who he is. That's the knowing part. You need to understand, God is not confined to some three-dimensional existence. God is infinite. He has no beginning. He has no end. God is not limited by human categories or human experience or human reasoning. Now, this morning, you need to know I'm not going to be focusing on the theoretical or even the theological discussion of this truth. Because I believe it's in the Word of God. I've already read Scripture, and therefore I believe it by faith. So I accept it. But this morning, I want to show you the reality of God's omnipresence and how it plays into our lives with three simple, but I believe very practical thoughts today. And the first one is simply this: you are not alone. If God is present everywhere, it means that he's present where you are. God is with you. In fact, his name was Emmanuel, God with us. How many remember the story of Jonah and the whale? You remember the story? How many learned it way back in Sunday school? Did anybody ever go to Sunday school? You know, we still have Care Community Sunday School on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I invite you to be a part of one of those disciple groups. They're where we learn some of these great stories. And maybe you've never heard the story, but there's a book in the Bible called Jonah. And you can go to it and begin to read through this wonderful story. Jonah was a prophet of God, and he was called to go and preach a message of repentance to a place. Does anybody remember the place? Nineveh. Everybody say Nineveh. Because nobody really knows how to say it anyway in Hebrew. So we'll use Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked town. And Jonah just flat out did not want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go there and preach. So Jonah took his money and decided to book a trip on a boat that was going in the opposite direction of Nineveh. Anybody ever done that in your life? You heard God and, So Jonah tried to flee from God's presence. As he's on the boat, a storm rises, and it's so bad that the men on the boat, the Bible says, began to call out to their own gods. They're trying to figure this out. And after some discussion, they finally determined it's Jonah is the cause of all this because he's running from God. They figured that out. They tried to avoid drastic measures at first by throwing overboard other stuff to lighten the boat, but eventually they found they had no choice, so they threw Jonah overboard into the sea, and the sea grew quiet. But did you know, even in the water, God was there? And then God sends this big fish, it says, to swallow Jonah. I mean, this is a well of a tale, you know. But did you know that even in the water, inside a fish, God was there? I think sometimes we think, wow, how could he be in the depths of the sea? But he's there. He walks, the Bible said, on the depths of the sea. After a time of repentance and being in the belly of the fish, God causes the fish to spit Jonah up onto the shore near Nineveh, and he makes a change and goes and preach. Because nowhere, no matter where Jonah was, God was there. The truth is, I could tell the story of Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Daniel, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. I could talk about Mary and Joseph. I could talk about Peter and John. I could talk about the Apostle Paul. I could talk about any of the saints of old. And their testimony would all be the same. They have found God to be present in every circumstance. Did you know the Lord is with us? Did you know the Lord is with us in a hospital room? I called my brother A few weeks ago, he had surgery, and he was in a hospital room. In fact, he said, "You don't need to come," and so I didn't. You go, "Well, you're pastor." No, the Lord was with him. We talked to the Lord together, and we dealt with that, and the Lord was there. Did you know the Lord is in a funeral home? Mike, where you at, Mike? I'm looking for your hand. Mike Bolarud. Mike just lost his brother this week, and he's going to be in a funeral home this afternoon for several hours, but the Lord's going to be there. The Lord's going to take care of him. The Lord's watching over him. Did you know the Lord is in a jail cell right now? The Spirit is reaching out to these men and women who have messed their lives up because of their choices. And God's saying, "But I'm here." Did you know he's in your place of employment? Do you know he's in a locker room? He's also in a classroom, students. Did you know he's on the sports field? And did you know he's in the privacy of your own home? God is there. But God is also here this morning. And I know that it's possible, even in a room filled with people, that there could be somebody here this morning that feels desperately alone. And you feel like, "Man, nobody ever notices me. No one really sees me." You might wave and you might smile, but you feel all alone. If that's you this morning, you need to know you are not alone. The all-present God is with you. As I look around this room this morning, there are widows and they're missing their spouse, but the Lord is with you. He will not forsake you. He does not leave you. He's present. So the Lord is there, because he's present, he's by our side. And you can trust that he is not forgotten and that he loves you. You are not alone. Brings me to my second thought, which says you do not have to be afraid. You are not alone. You do not have to be afraid. Did you know the knowledge of understanding God's omnipresence not only means that you don't have to feel alone, but you don't have to fear? No matter what you're facing, you face it with God at your side. When I was growing up, and whenever I went somewhere with my dad, I was never afraid. My dad was 6'3". He was a boxer in the Army, and his upper body of my dad was just massive. He had these really skinny legs like me. In fact, I think they're skinnier than mine. But from waist up, he was just a big man. It made him a great boxer because he had the upper strength, but the lightness on his feet. And I'd go anywhere with Dad. I'm telling you, there is never a time I was ever afraid. Dad was with me. Did you know our dad, our Heavenly Father, is with us? When you're in the presence of God, who is mightier and stronger than anything you'll ever face, you can let your fear go. He is there. If we'll trust him, if we'll rely on him, then your fear will dissipate. Your fear will fade away. How many remember these great words of the psalmist David found in Psalm 23 that say, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley." Now, I'm going to walk through this scripture slow because we just blow through scripture so many times. I know right now that the Willises are walking through a dark valley with their daughter. Their daughter has a illness that just they cannot find out what it is. And she is off her feet. It's not good. It's a dark valley. But the scripture reminds me, I will fear no evil. Why? Read it with me. For you are with me. He's present. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If we just blow through Scripture and say, well, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, blah, blah, blah. Instead of pausing for a moment, how many have ever been in that darkest valley? Come on, be honest. I think probably everybody has. And if we're not careful, we forget that He's with us. And then we get afraid of what's going to happen and what's going to transpire. And then all of a sudden fear rises up. Whoa, 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 whoa. The Scripture tells me, for you are with me, I will fear no evil. Church, it changes our perspective and our understanding because we are His sheep and of His pasture. He's the great shepherd, and He's got a rod that He can beat off the enemy with. And also His staff. Did you know that when sheep, because when they are coated with all of their wool, they have to be careful. That's why I love when it says He'll lead us beside still water. When the water's moving too rough and a sheep steps into it, the weight of a splash can knock their body over. Well, that's not where God takes you. He takes you to the quiet water. But if you get in rough waters, guess what? The shepherd's there with his staff. And the hook that we think so many times is for correction is for saving. And He grabs that sheep by the neck and pulls him out of danger. Because the Lord is with you. Church, I don't know why we walk in so much fear and so much cause of worry and stress when the Lord is there. In fact, the name of this name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Next time you walk into a situation, Shammah, He's there. And so we've got to know that He is for us and that He's omnipresent. Remind yourself, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Place yourself in His arms because you are not alone and you do not have to be afraid. A third thought, because He's omnipresent, is you will live with a sense of accountability. If God is present everywhere, it means everything we do is done in His presence. I know some of you are like, I like those first two. But this last one reminds us that we are His children. And how many of you know your children act like you do? Because they're in your presence. Did you know if you'll spend some time in His presence, acknowledging who He is, then you'll start acting like Him? We cannot live as though God does not exist. We are believers, and we are people who should be practicing the presence of God. See, you like to practice the presence of God when you come to church. But what about when you go eat today? Are you going to practice His presence? When you go to work tomorrow, are you going to practice His presence? When fear begins to slip in, are you going to practice His presence? One of the biggest criticisms of Christians today, it still has been for years, is that they are hypocrites. They act one way on Sunday and differently every other day of the week. In church, that ought not be. And sadly, I know it's true of some, and it's true because this is why it's true. Because some people think that God is not paying attention to them unless they're in church. Oh, when I show up, man, I better act good here. Why do we think that? When God is omnipresent. Church, if you have that kind of theology, your theology is faulty. You have a faulty understanding of who God is if you think He's only here. God is everywhere, and we need to live with this sense of accountability in our lives. We have to live with a true sense of God's omnipresence, and if we do so, we would begin to live life a lot more honest. Why? Because all of a sudden there would be a consistency that would come into our lives because we know He's there. And the person we are when everybody is looking would be the person we are when nobody is looking. And I know that we all make mistakes. I know that. God knows that. And there will be times when you act foolishly and you may even fall into sin. But in those times, we should be quick to confess our sin rather than trying to cover it up. We got to come clean before God rather than carrying the guilt of the sin. He's there. God, I messed up. Forgive me. Wash me. Make me clean. Because I know you're here. And it's that quick repentance that keeps us. David, King David, and you referred to it last week, man who had a heart after God, but boy, did he have problems. All kinds, but he was quick to repent. And one of the things we can read about David's life is once he repented of a sin, he never did that again. But he gets to even the end of his life, and God says, I don't count the army. David's like, I gotta know how many we got. And it cost him dearly. Just know that God's there. And because we know that God sees everything, and that God, there's nowhere God doesn't exist, could you practice the presence of God? Practice it. Put it into practice. Why don't you just try it all day today? This is the Lord's day. By the way, it's AD, it's the year of the Lord. So I can put him in all year long. It's amazing that our culture has not caught on to that yet. AD is the Latin word for the year of the Lord. The Lord is here. Church, to think that God has seen everything we've ever done really should humble us and make us cry out for his mercy and his grace. I know we live in a world that says, hey, you don't need God, but church, we do, and he's not far away. In fact, Paul tells us in Acts 17 these words, his purpose, talking of God, was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Did you know that God has gone to great lengths to make himself known to us? James, would you go ahead and come, and the worship team. First of all, God has given us his word and his promises. Isn't that great? He's given us his Son as our Savior. He has given us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. God is not hiding from you. He is seeking us. It's us that we try to hide from God. But you know, God is there. Just like in the Garden of Eden, if I could take you back to the garden. Did you know that God was there the whole time? Even when Adam and Eve sinned, he was there the whole time. But Adam and Eve somehow forgot that. All of a sudden, the tree in the garden is there, and the beauty of its fruit attracted them. And then there was a serpent that talked. That would be pretty amazing. But somehow, in that process, they forgot God was there until they ate of the fruit. And then they felt what we all feel called sin. Disobedience. But God was there. The problem is, and I don't know how this happens in our lives, but at times somehow we forget God is there. He's there. Don't forget God is there. And by calling out to him, whenever we mess up, he's there. He's seeking to know us so we can know him. He is pursuing us so we can pursue him. He knows everything about us. He knows the sin that you're ashamed of. He knows. Yet, he loves you. Oh, we're going to get to the love of God. You've got to hear about the love of God. It's part of who He is. In fact, God is love. It's so powerful. But you need to know He's there. That's exactly why Jesus went to the cross for us. It was there because God wanted to make it possible to restore the relationship for you and I. And listen, you cannot find God by running faster or working harder. We find God by stopping and recognizing He is there. And then we invite Him to take control of our lives. Because most of the time we're out of control. Perhaps this morning you feel you're at the end of your rope. You recognize, I don't have anywhere to turn, no one to turn to, nowhere to go. Know that God is not hiding from you. He's waiting for you. He is waiting for you to just admit your sin and trust Him. He's waiting for you to stop trying to do it on your own. Trust Him. His arms are open to you. All you've got to do is turn. He's there. He's waiting for you. If you're here this morning and you felt all alone, somehow the enemy has lied to you and you're like, I'm alone. Nobody cares. I want you to hear me this morning. God is omnipresent. He is there. Quit listening to the lie. The lie. He's the father of lies, Satan is. And yet God says, I'm here. Just turn to me. Recognize Him.